You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 110. This episode, The Extremely Expendables.
To the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining me today are my skilled and well thought out crew of Green Lantern enthusiasts. We have Kuhan, Colton, Eric, and Brandon here today, and we're going to be covering such issues as Green Lantern Core number 5 and Green Lantern New Guardians number 5. Everyone, tell them how you're doing.
Hey,
I love that.
I don't think "hay" describes how you're doing. Though,
don't we usually
it?
Get individual descriptions
I
of ourselves?
I'm eating hay.
You do.
I'm holding hay.
You
I
do.
I feel very hay about the whole thing.
I feel very not special. I feel like I'm just one of the guys.
Go on. Today's different. Today you're all part of the guys.
Well, I have a throw virus and my chest hurts, so yay!
Everybody applaud Colton. Applaud him. He's doing things. Say thank you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah.
I think we have some news.
Brandon, hit me up with some news.
News.
Well, for
news.
The...
Switch, get out the way.
Those... I like that because I'm black. for those people who are not reading Blue Beetle, you may want to start reading Blue Beetle. And Blue Beetle number 5, written by Green Lantern writer Tony Bedard, it turns out that the bad guys in that book, the Reach, will be coming to Odom, the Blue Lantern home planet, in just a few issues from now. And it will be the battle for Odom coming soon. So we have no idea if that's going to
– I heard
the
about
battle.
That on, I heard about that on the Twitter account at the GL Corps, which everyone should follow right now.
Yes, it was found on at the GL Corps. Yeah, you can definitely see it there. But just to let those people know, in case the series decides to cross over with that, look out for that. That. How many times can I say that in a sentence?
That.
Many
that.
Times. Is that it for news?
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
You don't have to,
no,
you don't.
It's not. It's not. You see that? Yeah. Hitch is something new.
Tricked me.
You lied him for like you just lied to him for a second, straight up. Like, is that it? Yes, it is. Oh wait, no, it's not.
Exactly.
Bam.
Now, if you just keep talking, I can actually get that second bit of news.
Colin, your throw virus, right?
Too late. I already have. Green Lantern, the animated series, will be returning in March. Everybody applaud.
Yay!
Yep.
Woo. Just in time for St. Paddy's Day.
Yep.
Exactly.
When Hal Jordan gets crazy drunk and Kilowog's like, what are you doing?
Well, we all know Hal Jordan likes to drink. Now, you know, not again, back like as in back in the day when he drove off some sort of highway or something and killed
right,
him.
Right, yes.
But Hal gets
drunk and flies the ship, and then I was like, what are you doing, Hal Jordan? And he's like, shut up, Aya, and then hits his brother,
okay,
I guess.
Okay. Go on. It's cool. It's cool. We don't need the entire skit. We got it. So Green Lantern, the anime series, will be returning in March.
And they won't be alone. In 3 recently released new images from the series, the Star Sapphires appear. Yay!
Well, we all know
you
Brandon
sound
is
so excited. You're like,
seeing
yay!
Carol Ferris.
The Rainbow Corps is coming.
The Skittles Brigade.
Am I the only one legitimately excited for the series actually kicking off now?
Well, we all are.
Oh, the animated series? Well, heart.
I know for a fact somebody asked me on, like, me personally on Twitter, like, hey, did the Green Lantern series just get canceled, like, after an episode? I'm like, no, that was a preview. So that's one person for sure.
Yeah, there's a new thing with DC. They did it for Young Justice last year.
You know, I think it's one of those things for me where it's like, I guess I wasn't super impressed by the pilot. Maybe I'm just too old now to, like, follow stuff just for the characters, you know? Like, maybe it actually has to be a good show for me to be excited about it.
That was a really cheeky way of saying you hated that shit.
No, I just didn't love it. Like,
so technically you were saying you technically cannot get behind character development or character-driven stories. Just the stories of action will get you behind the wheel of this.
I don't know where in what I said any of that information was imparted, what you interpret. I simply said that I'm no longer one of those guys that's like, hey, Green Lantern's in that. I should watch that. I mean, I am, because we're in the podcast. But
you're
like,
doing the Green Lantern podcast.
Like, I've made the mistake of, for the new DC universe, buying all the Superman comics. I'm like, I'm a huge Superman fan. And, like, I buy, like, so that's like 6 comics a month I'm buying that are just because they're Superman, and 5 of them are terrible, you know? And I'm like looking at this, like, why am I spending $25 on bad comics? So, you know,
it doesn't happen to me except with TV. It's just like, hey, this person I like is in that show. Oh, this show is really bad. Well, I guess I could keep watching it. And then it gets canceled after 6 episodes, so it's cool, but, you know.
Yeah, I have. I've been watching Vampire Diaries for that reason. No, that's not why I'm watching Vampire Diaries. Good show.
First of all, Gossip Girl over Vampire
Diaries.
Okay,
no, hold on.
I think any insinuations about anyone's sexuality should be directed towards Eric now and leave me out of it. Thank you.
Wait a second.
You know what? I'd rather be gay. I'd rather be the gay one because I'm okay with it. It's like, what's a more woman-oriented show, Vampire Diaries or Gossip Girl? I mean, Vampire Diaries, I'm telling you, someone gets their heart ripped out every episode. A Gossip Girl, people get their heart ripped out metaphorically every episode. You know, so I don't know.
That's drama.
I've heard nothing but good things about Vampire Diaries and nothing about Gossip Girl.
Well played.
Okay, yeah. So I guess we've gone a little bit off track. Let's get back on track and start our reviews of...
This is not the Gossip Girl podcast?
No, I'm sorry. This is not the GG.
It's the GLD. I thought it was Gossip Girl Love...
From Colton.
This is going in a bad direction.
All right. So let's get back on track again, guys. So yeah. we're gonna move on to our review of Green Lantern New Guardians number 5 with the... as the team dives deeper into this Ore, I guess you would call it an Ore.
Ore.
Ore. Ore.
It's a real name. Ore.
Yeah. What's the actual proper pronunciation of this?
Ore.
Ore.
Ore. Like, it's actually spelled like Ore, isn't it? Like Orray or something.
We could just call it the Oreo.
No, we can't.
No, we can't.
All right, So, again, the theme dives deep into the mystery of this whole thing, and lo and behold, they find 2 planets or 3 planets that are supposed to be actually gone or, you know, stricken from existence, such as Tamaranians, Okara, and whatever that third planet was that Cal was roaming around in. I wouldn't be surprised if that's that future that he went to and found his long-lost, like, DNA child or whatever. I would be completely surprised. I wish they brought that back, but no such luck. Yeah, so pretty much we have also the big mystery that apparently Larfleeze is the biggest bad guy in that universe or solar system or pocket, whatever, from – what was that show again with Dylan Hunt?
I like how we have an encyclopedic knowledge of CW television, but nothing else.
Gossip Girl? Is it Gossip Girl?
No.
I'm thinking of
who's Dylan Hunt.
the show with Kevin Sorbo and
Hercules.
I'm not talking about Hercules.
That's only thing Kevin Sorbo's ever done.
I'm talking about Captain. What was it? Andromeda. Yes, Andromeda. Captain Dylan Hunt and Andromeda.
Which
at the end of a season found the exact same thing as a planetary weapon system housed with a bunch of bad creatures or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bunch of bad creatures in this book later on.
I'll tell you the truth. I usually get really pissed off when things rip other things off. If something's ripping off Andromeda, I don't care. I honestly don't care. That doesn't bother me.
I definitely felt like, though, like when they walked into the church place, like that felt like something. Like, oh, it's the Beast. Oh, who's the Beast? Oh, it's that guy that we all know. Like, isn't that like from everything?
The same. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes, the remake with Mark Wahlberg. Let's do that. It's like the Lincoln Monument, except that it's Tim Roth and ape makeup. So I'm just calling it out. This is a ripoff of this is Ape Lincoln ripoff. That's what I'm calling
okay.
it out.
I'm actually pretty disappointed with the uses of some words or key phrases. You know, Archangel, the whole Glomulus, his whole raspberry and everything, or however you pronounce.
We did definitely get that whole by the way. So now we're definitely making sure that Glomulus. They're not necessarily construct. Glomulus is Glomulus, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he has some quirky personality.
Yeah, they're like, oh, what are we gonna? It's like we should clarify. It's like, nah, we're not gonna clarify. All right, gotta clarify. Right. Fuck you. I'm like, okay.
Get it. They'll clarify later. They're just giving a small taste of it.
Yeah, as far as we know, they're just trying to create a Kyle Rayner's running buddy. I mean, he needs like a playful sidekick to play off of the fact that Kyle has had Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner as his his partners or sidekicks.
Well, I mean, we have to care about the character in some way, and you don't care about the character if it's like, oh, it's just a Larfleas construct, whatever.
And it's cute. I think it's fine. I think, and he's kind of a one note, like just a little fat guy making jokes, so it's okay to kind of be vague about what his status is and stuff.
It feels like that. What was his name? In Doctor Who, the botch whatever with the really
K-9?
Long name.
K-9.
No, the little red guy in Voyage of the Damned.
Oh, Vox of Victoria. Vox of Victoria is Caliban.
you know what I'm talking about.
I know it. Don't everybody keep talking. I'm going to think of it. I'm not going to look it up.
So let's
nobody look it up. I'm thinking of it. Just continue.
So how does everybody feel about Fatality and Monk? Pretty much steaming up, and their whole thing about her being an ex Green Lantern murderer psychopath, and now she's a warrior of love. Are we easily enjoying her explanation of like this is her atonement, even though she believes herself to be in the righteous path?
Well, I hope that it goes somewhere. I like that.
Banner Cappellata, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Brandon.
I think my ear is bleeding.
Banner Cap.
You were thinking Rax Corner of Palpatorius earlier, which is what I was thinking too. But that was the planet that. Anyways.
Okay, guys. Brandon?
Yeah, I like that they're having the conversation. I like that, we got to see that Monk isn't just, some foreign speaking android, When he feels like saying something, he'll say something, and he calls her on her shit, like, you're a hypocrite. And she's like, no, I'm doing this for my reasons, And that may or may not be true, but I like the fact that, the conflict is there, the tension between those two is subtle, but it's there, and I think that's a step in the right direction for both of those characters, and it makes the book a lot more interesting.
I think about Monk. I think that's just sort of how the Indigos seem to work. They're like, oh, we'll use our own language until it's convenient, and we need other people to understand us. Because the same thing happened with Indigo One. She only said knock nook, and then it's like, oh, now we need to have her talk. Okay.
Well, technically, we've only seen two Indigo Lanterns.
Right. No, obviously we've only seen two.
I think it was pretty random that he was saying knock knock when he was actually speaking English and stuff. And he's the first one we saw speak English, right? Like, wasn't it like everybody was like, why is he speaking English in the middle of like a GLC book or something? I think at least I like that there. Tony Bedard he told us, and his mission statement is to kind of clarify what the fuck that all the different colors are doing and what they really mean and what their activities are and what their limits are and stuff. And this is what this is, and this is what this is happening. He's having somebody say to Fatality, hey, you're a goddamn murderer. Like, what are you joining with these love groups for? And her to kind of be like, my mission statement is to redeem myself for the murderers. It's like, okay, there you go. And then to say to Monk, like, hey, how come you guys are compassionate and you're like the biggest shitheads? And he's like, Like, he's like, I won't tell you, it's a mystery for another Geoff Johns storyline. I mean, another day. he's going around, and then that's why he did the Glomulus thing, too. Like, and Kyle Rayner asks, like, hangs a lampshade on it, you know, like, to use the whatever, the current, the colloquialism. You know, he's like, hey, Glomulus, are you your own person, or are you a construct? And Glomulus is like, not going to answer. Go fuck yourself. And it's like, well, at least somebody asked, you know. At least we know we're not going to get any answers.
Exactly. See, I think if you have no choice but to avoid those certain aspects of being handicapped, at least write it well. And I think that's what Tony is doing here. I think he's writing around a situation very well.
I think he's writing around it. I don't know if he's doing it very well. It's not enough punch in his writing. There's not enough, you know, twisting and personality.
Well, I think if you spent three pages on their conversation about how both of them are hypocrites, then you'd be like, well, damn it, I just spent three pages on why both of those are hypocrites.
Yeah, but they did. They did spend like five pages on it, and it just wasn't anything that I was like, I haven't learned anything about these characters. You're kind of just, you actually have two characters specifically say you're not going to learn anything about me, and one character say, like, you've already really learned everything you're going to learn about me right here in two panels and stuff. So it's just like, it's cool. I think you brought up, we talked about this another place, and you brought up that Archilo seems to have some kind of homosexual attitude towards Sinestro, and they might be hinting at that with the conversation him and St. Walker, because at least that's implying that Archilo is going to go somewhere in this series, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely gay. I've come to the conclusion that it's beyond adoration for Sinestro. It's definitely something romantic there, because his insecurity around St. Walker just signifies that he's got something for Sinestro, and it's beyond dog and its master. And I think the fact that he absolutely had to be with St. Walker at that time was like, well, this guy knows what I feel, so I have to be around him to either keep my secret safe or just be with somebody who knows, and maybe on the off chance that I feel like confessing, this would be the guy.
So you're calling and Archilo comes out?
I think
no, I don't think he comes out. I just think he is.
Yeah, I think the twist is going to be a bit more traditional than that when we finally find out what it is, if there even is a twist.
Could it be a bromance?
We'll have to talk to Tony.
We'll have to talk to Tony again.
So have the Tamaranians always had, like, spikes in their faces, or is that just...
No. I don't ever remember the scene.
Might be a stylistic choice.
Well, but, like Starfire never had, like, spikes in her faces. Was she just different, or was it just...
Well,
like...
in recent the Red Hood and the Outlaws...
So it's new universe.
Maybe they just recently said that Starfire had been experimented on, so her visage and the way she looks may have been altered in a way. She's still Tamaranian, but also altered to be somewhat different than Tamaranian. So these Tamaranians maybe how they actually look. Who knows?
Right.
All be Tyler Kirkman's offhanded chance. He's going, like, I've never seen that freaking Starfire ever.
Yeah,
look.
That's the other thing. It just seems unnecessary. It just seems like an unnecessary redesign. Unless for some reason they're useful next issue or something. It just seems like, let me just put spikes on their faces. And Tony Brown's like, why? He's like, I just want to put spikes on their faces. Like, oh.
Well, you can always make the argument that since the civilization was destroyed, this is probably some kind of Brainiac perspective that he took, and there's deviations and stuff. But
yeah, no, it's possible.
I just
want to
point out
like
that this is. As exciting as the Orrery is, and the fact that it's a cool idea that they have all these different planets, the implication that it's all extinct planets, and that is a cool idea, it's Brainiac's ship. You know, I mean, the Orrery is something, it's a word that Grant Morrison used in Final Crisis, that's done to death. Invictus, obviously the villain is named after the Morgan Freeman football movie from last year. I mean, that's clearly where we're going with this ripoff. You know, general, it's kind of a ripoff conceptually of Brainiac. So, you know, I mean, the difference is he's kind of a deity character. He's kind of worshipped, and that's I guess the hook. But otherwise, I don't like it that Larfleeze has got a hand over this whole series. I don't like that it's like Larfleeze is the fucking Sauron of this series. I mean, fuck that.
Well, remember, he was always supposed to be the biggest bad guy until Geoff Johns completely forgot where the hell he was going with the character. You know, one second he creates him to be the baddest of all things, who's done so much in like 3 million years of life.
And we don't know how permanent it is. It could just be going through, you know, like maybe 2 or 3 storylines until finally it ends, and then it's like, all right, now it's done, and now he's Scooby-Doo again.
Okay.
He gives the guy a chance to go back to his roots.
He was Scooby-Doo here, and I thought he was really funny here, actually.
Well, oh, really
but,
funny.
but my thing is that if like I said before, Tony's writing around a lot of things here, and he's doing it well. He's picking up on what Jeff is not bothering to explain. You know, he's dealing with the contradictions in the Indigo Corps. He's dealing with Fatality's hypocrite lifestyle. He's dealing with the fact that Larfleeze was a fucking murderer. And, you know, that's interesting. He's picking up plot points that we've been bitching about for the last 6 years. Like, geez.
That's true. I think you're seeing something similar happen in the Red Lanterns comic, but just to talk about that for half a second, I think in issue 5, that's comics finally picking up steam in terms of what they're in terms of, like, I now have a perspective on the Red Lanterns, and I'm exploring that perspective, whereas this book is issue 5, and we're now just getting perspectives. And he's kind of treating them offhandedly. If the series was more about exploring what the different rings do, as opposed to, you know, what it is really just kind of a crazy adventure they're all having, and they happen to have different rings and might as well explore it on the side, it would seem a bit more important. It kind of just seems like a series of afterthoughts. It seems like he's like, while I'm here, I might as well explain what this does to you. You know, like, you know, while we're walking past the copy, I might as well explain to you how the fax machine works, you know, on the way to the training on the job floor and stuff. You know, like, it doesn't seem as important as it really should, especially considering it's been withheld for so long, because now it just seems like an afterthought, whereas it's technically Red Lantern is definitely more overt in saying, like, the Red Lanterns don't function and wouldn't be able to function. Let me rewrite it. But at least it's actually saying my whole story is about the fact that they don't function. Whereas this is kind of like, well, Monk doesn't make any sense. Glomulus doesn't make any sense. I'll just sort of talk about it while they're fighting another big space guy. You know, I don't know. You
really don't need to go completely 100% in depth so early on in each of these groups. What you need to do in a book like this is you need to slowly introduce things and build up with them over time. The question will be is if he continues on with this or not, because so far for the start, I think it's pretty interesting, you know, exploring like a change, like with Fatality's whole thing. When we first see her turn in the series, she's kind of just a mindless killer to a love. But this is a lot more interesting because this one kind of portrays her as kind of struggling with her past identity, but also deciding that she can better herself, which I think is a much greater improvement than I've just been brainwashed.
Yeah. No, I don't really see her struggling, though. Is she struggling? I think she's perfectly fine with her lifestyle. She bragged about it in the third issue, and she's like, look, I'm a warrior. I will hunt you. You know, I think
I will hunt you.
She's perfectly fine with her past. I think she's, you know, she's just not okay with it anymore. I think there's
a clarity, whereas when you used to see the Star Sapphire presented, and you're still going to see them presented this way in the Geoff Johns comics, as these kind of brainwashing, you know, people who just kidnap people and brainwash them to be their soldiers, and Fatality seemed like a completely, you know, spayed person when you saw her, lobotomized person. We saw her. This series is kind of like, no, she's not lobotomized. She's the same person. She just is fighting for love or something.
You could say that she's just so strong-willed she overcame the limitations of the ring by compared to everyone else.
All they're really doing in this story is saying these guys are renegades, but for really unclear reasons, and they're just to get them out of the way, because if you have a team of renegades that have the ring power, you know, we've seen before in the past that they have these guys teaming up together would be a really strong team to get them out of the way until we figure out what's going on with the next Green Lantern storyline. They're just going to fight another big guy in space, and I'm not really interested in that. That was the worst part about the cliffhanger for part 4, that they stopped, sent him to the other side of space, and it's like, basically, let's go fight Thanos, you know, and it's like, I don't give a shit about fucking Thanos. If I'm involved in the story, I want to know what's going on with the rings. I want to know. And if it's like, this guy's the one stealing the rings, it's like, so you're making up a character to kind of divert from the actual in-depth. Like, you're saying you don't have to go in-depth so soon in the series. It's 5 issues in. I mean, most comics don't last 5 issues. You know, like, that's plenty of time to go as in-depth as they want to. Red Lanterns just hit their 5th issue, and they finally finished their mission statement, you know. And, like, it was frustrating the whole time. We're all like, oh, get your fucking mission statement. They're like, look, this is what we're doing for 5 issues. This is why we're doing it. And this series is kind of like, well, we're just
it's really what the difference between this and Red Lanterns is that while this has not gotten around to its plot, it's had, you know, interesting moments that we can talk about. It's had the giant spaceship with different planets. It's had conflicts between different cores. Whereas Red Lanterns is just sticking us around 4 issues. Yeah. So I mean, if you look, we complain heavily about Emerald Warriors and its ridiculous slow pace.
Nothing happens.
If you look at this trade collection, it's going to have to collect the first 8, maybe 10 issues to get a decent plot out of it, because usually trades collect 4, maybe 6 issues. This, there's no chance of an arc wrapping up in the next issue. None.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think something else too, we didn't really talk about Bleez's little subplot where they cut a hole in the story, in the actual Red Lantern story. You saw Ostrasis being like, who should I pick to put in the River of Blood? And then like in mid-sentence, the issue ends and the next issue starts to throw her face in there. Like, it turns out that cliffhanger was useless, and it's almost like Tony Bedard is like, he's almost picking up the pieces of every Green Lantern writer now. He's like, well, fuck, they should have had that scene. Well, here it is, you know. And like, I do appreciate that Charlie Kirkham realized that all of Bleez's character is in her gratuitous ass and vagina shots. So thankfully, we got a lot of ass and vagina shots of Bleez.
He might have read Red Lantern.
She seemed out of character when I wasn't looking at her coochie. You know, on the panel. So I'm really glad that they brought that back in.
This is kind of the problem that I'm noticing that Tony Bedard's having to deal with. He's basically stuck at the whim of these other books because his team is made up of so many different groups that affect different books, and apparently their plots matter first, and then he's just thrown along.
Just one other group and one other book, because none of the other characters are used anywhere else. It's just Bleez being used in Red Lanterns.
And the Indigo's in Green Lantern.
The explanation for taking out the entire Sinister Corps, but for some reason not Arkillo, doesn't make any sense in the Green Lantern. And it's like almost like, all right, take these characters, we'll just keep them away. And then immediately, all the writers were like, haha, fuck you, Tony. Like, it just randomly started doing shit with the Corps. You know, I mean, now the Reach have to show up, et cetera.
It's just so mean to the guy. He's trying to do things. They're all like,
how could you announce a storyline? How could you, in Blue Beetle, be like, the Reach are going to show up and they're going to fuck up Jamie's whole life for 5 issues for fucking hinting? And then in issue 5, like, wait, we got to go to another thing. In another half a year, you'll see us in another title. Like, isn't that what you've been waiting for, Blue Beetle fans? Fuck you, too. Like, DC, you know, I'm tired of you saying fuck you to my face. I'm tired of it. Just do it subtly, like everyone else in my life, you know?
Give me a text. All right. We've discussed enough on Green Lantern New Guardians. We're going to move on to Green Lantern Core number 5, with the, I guess you could say, conclusion or the information gathered by the Manhunter of Mars of Stormwatch. And Guy Gardner rounding up the toughest and most badass Green Lanterns from this side of just made up to just made up right now.
Yeah.
Going to die in 3 issues.
I do want to say really quick that we're talking about this on the other cast we do, the Graphic Sequential cast, the DC New, that this is at least the 3rd, possibly the 4th issue this year that had Guy Gardner going, I need to find the toughest Lanterns out there and get them together in a team to stop this threat that's going to kill all the other Lanterns. And it is like the 4th time he's done this, you know, and it's like at this point I'm like, Tomasi, do you not understand you're writing sequential serialized storytelling? Like, we've read those other issues. We've seen issues 1 and 2. Like, you can't just do the same thing 100 times and expect to get away with it. Like, you know, and what's really – you know, and whatever. I have a big problem with these characters because what kind of police officer or military man breaks into a fellow military man's bar and steals his liquor for months, you know, every day, and like, fuck you guys. And I'm sorry, Tomasi, I understand making the Green Lantern military, but not every one of them is the Punisher. Like, you can't have every character being like, I don't care, let's torture and murder our way across the universe, and et cetera, et cetera. Sorry. Somebody else should talk.
Did we shift already, or like, did Eric just start talking about the next topic?
Apparently, from what I understand, Guy Gardner apparently just leads groups – the Guardians' actual lapdog. He apparently leads these groups of rebels, these badasses and the Guardians to their deaths through, like, suicide missions. I mean, seriously, Eric had a point. He just seems to, like, go for these, like, mad dogs in the Green Lantern Corps and then just lead them in suicidal charges, which he and maybe one other person are the only ones who survive.
I do like how this is the only way Guy Gardner gets to keep his rep as the number one badass in the Green Lantern Corps.
By killing everyone else.
Yeah, and it's especially – I think that this issue is a real problem in terms of – I mean, it was funny because Frankie started saying conclusion and I did a spit take and stuff, because it's like this – it's like starts a whole new storyline in the middle of another storyline, like, you know. And it's like – it was like the last 2 issues, the cliffhangers have been like, these Green Lanterns that you love could be killed at any moment. And it's been 2 issues just dicking around.
It's like, man, we have to kind of like these characters. Well, let's introduce some more red shirts.
I was like, let's do some more characters. And like, this especially was like Guy Gardner spends a whole issue talking shit. It reminds me of the same when right before the relaunch happened, they had all the Emerald Warriors one shots with Guy Gardner, and there was one that was this exact plot where there was a spider that was eating a giant monster that was eating all these Green Lanterns, and Guy Gardner was like, "I need the toughest badasses in the Corps," and he got them. And it took him like the whole issue to train them and talk them into it and have saucy conversations while they kept cutting back to the monster eating people and stuff. And I'm staring at this flabbergasted, like, where is the suspense? I mean, like, it's one thing if you suspend your disbelief. Guy Gardner doesn't care about his fellow Lanterns. I think we learned that by now. He just kind of wants to fight, and he's all about kicking ass and stuff, and he doesn't care about innocent life. And we get that. That's not his character. But for the momentum of the story, we have Jon Stewart tied upside down, about to be eaten alive, and Guy Gardner's dicking around drinking beers with some no-names, you know? Like, it's why would you just stop the story cold? You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
And
it's like
this was really it was like wordy, like it was exposition-y and wordy, and there's like a lot of just random talking that like it was just I don't know, and I feel like Tomasi's like been doing this. I feel like Tomasi has been doing this since Emerald Warriors, where people just like talk a lot,
but they don't say anything.
Right, exactly. They just talk.
Yeah, and I understand he's a conservative. It's very clear at this point that he's a conservative guy, and I'm not. And so I get a little bit of head bumping every time I read a Tomasi Green Lantern story and stuff. But it's just at this point, like I said, it's repetitive. It's the same damn thing all the time. And I know he was like, I really want to get that Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner's like my dude. I'm like, let's get him the fuck away from Guy Gardner for a little while. You know, like I feel like we've been reading that. And I was, as you all know, I used to regularly toss Green Lantern Corps salad when he was writing it. Like, and even Emerald Knights, Warriors, I was the biggest defender of the slow pace. Like, no, this is great. And I'm so sick the last like 3 years of the same Guy Gardner story being told, you know, and it's, as you guys are saying, it's like, and we used to make fun of it. We used to read the balloons on the cast because of how ridiculously wordy this dialogue was. This is the same thing. I mean, like, why would you sit around talking trash like you're in the fucking Expendables when your best friend's about to get his balls eaten by the Viet Cong? Like, that's ridiculous.
It's not even like you're in the Expendables. I can't even think of anything that they talk this much before doing anything. And by anything, I mean nothing.
They basically only let up for the entire issue of talking about what we're going to do, and then the back is explaining where they came from, the origin of their animosity towards the Guardians, and at the very end of it, Guy Gardner goes, okay, we can't use our rings, we have to get artillery, and the only way to get artillery is apparently blowing up a fire ship, taking all their guns, and then using that to, you know, fight, blow a hole in our enemies.
I feel like at some point someone's going to be talking a lot, and like behind the word balloons, John's going to break out of the chains and be like, yeah, while you were talking, I broke out. way to go, buddy. The worst ranking attempt ever.
Yeah, I do want to talk about this pirate ship raid thing. Like, I think for some reason, I don't know why, that, you know, the Guardians can build these giant raids and they have no other access to weapons except to raid pirates. And I understand they're pirates, and they have a very distinct line of dialogue where the pirates stand there and they're like, let's make sure we rape an entire orphanage before we have our eggs this morning. And then they're subsequently murdered by the Expendables and stuff. But like, it's like what they're doing is they're entrapping pirates, murdering them, and taking their shit. So they're pirating the pirates. Like, how is that at all?
Pirateers. They're pirateers.
How is that at all acceptable behavior for the GLC? You know, and like, that's the quickest way.
Well, remember, that's why they are the badass and the most rowdy and the rogues of the Green Lantern Corps.
It's assuming that you're, you know, that the Green Lantern Corps has an evidence collection or something. You know, who's to say that they don't always use the guns that they find in space? It's never been established. Why not?
Why wouldn't they just build other ones?
And it's not as if they were on that. It's not entrapment unless they were behind it in the first place. It's not like it was a secret mission to get this. We need to get some guns. We know where illegal drug trade is or gun trades are. Let's go get these dealers.
Yeah, so it's funny to think that these guys would have got – they would like just let these guys keep dealing if not for the – I got the implication that they pretended to be a certain cruise liner or whatever, a ship going across, so that the pirates would attack them in order to jump the pirates. Exactly entrapment, but I mean, I think it's funny too that they actually use an interceptor. So they use a piece of technology that is in the ring, implying that they totally could very easily build guns. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I understand that you can't use the rings because they can break the rings. Why don't you just use the rings to make guns? It'll take you seconds to do. Like, you know, the rings can just do that. I mean, you know, if the rings can make giant Gardner faces to have conversations with yourself about, then I don't understand why you can't just make a gun in 2 seconds. You know, like, Peter Tomasi should just write Lobo. I mean, he has no interest in writing Green Lantern. He just wants to have dudes in space with big guns. Just fucking do it. Like, nobody's forcing you to write Green Lantern, you know? I can't believe I'm turning on Peter Tomasi like this. I do want to say Batman and Robin is, like, one of the best comics that DC's putting out right now, and is one of the best Batman comics they've put
out.
Which
is funny, because, you know, Batman and Robin is also wordy.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Really?
I don't know. I think Green Lantern is more though. It's like space action, and I don't think you. It feels like I think wordy works more in a Batman book than it would in a Green Lantern book.
I happen to think it's a lot less wordy, because I think Batman. The big thing about the Batman and Robin that he's doing right now is it's got like a crazy ass amount of violent action.
I'm not reading Batman and Robin, so I don't know. I'm just saying. I think wordy would work better in a Batman book than it would in a Green Lantern book.
Especially
in a Batman book where Batman is bouncing off of Robin.
Yeah, it was. You're missing out. It's a pretty good book.
Personally speaking, I think for a Green Lantern title, they should be a lot more creative with the rings, like you were saying. I mean, why just create constructs of guns and everything when you could do so many things with it? You can create objects out of just matter around you. You can manipulate energy. You can manipulate light and sound. You could do all sorts of creative things. You're just making guns and axes. Really, they should add an amendment to what makes a Green Lantern. They should add must have good imagination to the must be fearless part.
No, see, the funny thing is they could easily have done what they've done in the Justice League cartoon. He could easily just grab a bunch of rocks from the ground and smash his enemies with it. Really that hard.
Yeah, he wants them to show up with guns because he thinks that's badass. And I think he also wanted there to be a big sequence with these new characters.
He wants to make a larger scale war zone is what he wants to do. He wants to make it seem like there's going to be a bigger, dire, you know, threat to these guys.
They don't even have to create actual guns. They could just create real bullets and use construct guns to fire them.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they
could do. The heart of the problem is that we were introduced, like Eric said before, that you stopped the whole new story. It was never necessary to get this badass team.
Yeah,
you came back with three or four people anyway. You know what? And you see they're off. You know, taking it in a bad way. You know, just rally the troops.
And in a way, Tomasi's more inclined to try to say that, you know, the core is huge, and he doesn't want to just depend on the same regular, you know, stable that he's
didn't
had.
Do that in the next arc.
Well, he did, but he did introduce a bunch of brand new characters for this series already.
Yeah, and that's what he's still doing. He's just showing you how diverse the Green Lantern Corps can be, even though most of these badass Green Lanterns that we have now are all regular humanoids, you know.
You know what I want to ask, though, right? I want to ask, like, how come every time he goes to Kilowog and says, I want the most badass Green Lanterns you can think of, he gives them different people every time? Like, I guess these are, like, actually the 12th most badass dudes in the Green Lantern.
The guy's getting everyone killed, that's why.
Yeah, he's got them all killed, I guess.
These guys are total pussies. They're like, oh, yeah, we just hang out downstairs. But it's like, you got everyone else killed, so just have these guys.
What he should have done was he should have gone, like, instead of saying, I need the most badass dudes to do the fighting, he should have said, Kilowog, can you think of the smartest, most ingenious, most creative Green Lanterns so we could figure out a way around the fact that they can counteract our rings? You know, and Kilowog's like, sure, I'll give you all. And it's like Guy Gardner and a bunch of fucking nerds flying through space, like Guy Gardner and, like, Steve Jobs and Stephen Hawking, like, zipping through space and shit. And, like, actually, as a matter of fact, it seems ridiculous, but wouldn't that be a much more entertaining, maybe not entertaining, who knows, because
remember, the only really like super genius Green Lantern we ever saw has post-traumatic stress disorder and gave up being a Green Lantern in the previous universe.
Yeah, but we just met four brand new Green Lanterns this issue because they were the most badass. He can't invent four smart Green Lanterns. I mean,
no, he can't possibly do that.
He invented teleporter, so no, he can't.
You mean Lantern Porter?
My
he will be missed.
My name is Tella from the Porter people. What? Yeah. I move stuff from the around people. Yeah.
My name's Red Shirt Number One. I'm here to save everybody. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when they used to have GLC issues in the last couple of years where they would do the one-offs about, like, the dude who talked to the dead people. And it's like, you know, hey, let's make a point to say that the Green Lanterns have different skill sets. And, you know, apparently there's only one skill set every time Tomasi gets on a title. Who's more badassist, you know, like the fuckest uppest, you know, team? Like, it's just like, at this point, come on. As soon as he's like, Kilowog, I need these badass dudes. I'm like, ugh. And it's like, so it's funny how aggressive the Green Lantern Corps is. Like,
like Kilowog, I never see him training anybody. You only ever see him telling whoever he's talking to that they're a fucking idiot. Like,
I also realized, who's
learning from this? Like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you dumbass motherfucker. Like, you know, and since one of the politics of the Green Lantern is so cool again, like everybody was about to quit and mutiny and they lost so many members because of Sinestro. And all of a sudden they're like, nah, Kilowog's like, nah, they're all pussies and shit. And it's like, what? Like, you're fine now. You're just fine. You're over it. You're fine. They're punks now. You're just back to just screaming at people until they quit.
And well, remember, we have no idea at what point this story is even in. I mean,
what happened to Sale?
Yeah, that's true. What did happen to Sale? He was supposed to be the new trainer, yet he's nowhere to be found. But again, if this was at any way in point, like, you know, going along with every other Green Lantern story, right now Guy Gardner and John Stewart would have been like, wait, what the hell just happened to Kyle?
This is definitely taking place now because Kyle isn't involved. They aren't referencing Kyle because we don't know exactly when this is, but because of the whatever these guys, I forget what they're called, the Skeletor dudes are called, they specifically are saying all the Guardians came and stole the batteries. The implication being they stole the batteries to set up the next big storyline that's happening. So this is all taking place. This is definitely post Sinestro because the Guardians are acting like the lobotomized crazy selves, and they're obviously leading up to the whole Third Army shit. So, and I think it's definitely like post Sinestro, and this is all post Sinestro.
I can't believe they even went there. That's hilarious.
You know what I realized is Tomasi, I don't think cares about any of the other characters really, except for Guy Gardner and whoever works in his story. Because like it's supposed to be, you know, a Guy and John book. And what does he do? The first thing he can is get John kidnapped so Guy can go save him.
Yeah. It's funny because Tomasi has range. Like he's written some really bad stories. Again, see the last like six issues before Immortal Warriors was canceled. He's written some really terrible comics and stuff. But he's got range and he does personalities well, and like this whole nihilist, like he seems to be like totally masturbating over dead bodies. That's like his whole jam. And for me, I'm right there with you, Thomas. You and I are holding hands, jerking off at the same time to the same dead bodies that Patrick Gleason is doodling. But you know, and you're getting a lot of like, and he seems to be okay with exploring like the depth of the depravity and shit like that, because you're reading the Batman and Robin storyline. It's all about how Damian is fucked up because of the violence he's had. He's been raised up and the death ninja he's supposed to be as a 10-year-old and stuff. And like, you do see that, but the kind of flippancy in terms of just how, you know, he's like, like his go-to is like, I'm just going to write five issues where people are getting shot. You know, it's like enough. Right, the art is great though. Fernando Pastorin's.
Obvious. That goes without saying. We should mention that Fernando is excellent.
Yes.
I personally liked the John getting tortured thing. I thought that was a really great scene and we didn't get enough of it.
I'm not saying there's a problem with their, you know, the character getting tortured and all that, but like, why did John have to be the one getting tortured, not Guy? Like, he's been writing Guy for what, like 4, 5, 6 years now? Like, why not take a stab at John for a second?
Didn't Guy get tortured in the last big storyline? Wasn't he tortured by Zardoz?
In a way. I mean, it was the same thing.
Didn't he kidnap him?
He was eating in a snake for a while.
But
and
I mean,
he,
but
like,
even,
you know,
even then, like that is he's being eaten by a snake while you're following Guy being eaten by a snake, whereas this is John gets captured, John gets tortured, let's follow Guy, get up people so that they can save John. You know, if it focused on John getting tortured or Guy got tortured and it focused on John trying to save Guy, it just feels like he just really wants to write Guy.
That goes without saying. He's admitted that much. But if you look at the torture scene and you look at the scenes where John and his team with his back against the wall, it's good characterization. It's John as the military guy. And, you know, John as a military guy he'd be the last one to crack, you know? So he's over there trying to reinforce his team members that, like, hey, look, we're Green Lanterns. We're built for situations like this. Like, don't give in. Don't give in. Fuck you. I'm not giving up shit. You know, that's John. So yeah. I think if we got more of that, then this book wouldn't feel as much of a deja vu book that we've gotten over the last couple of months.
It's huge guy fest, basically.
It would have been nice if John wasn't the one who was actually being tortured. If John was actually the starter book and actually was the one who actually went around. All right, let me round up the toughest, most badass military guys in the universe.
And the other thing is, John as a military guy would be like, all right, I don't need to just round up the most badass people. I need to round up a diverse group of people who are intelligent.
Right.
And like yes. The smart guy, the badass, the tough guy, whatever, as opposed to guys like, let me just get a bunch of awesome people
to be my Marines is basically what he would have said.
Right, exactly.
And he would have stormed the beach, you know, and done that whole Green Lantern camouflage thing.
Or he just would have blew up the planet.
He could have done that. He could have just said
that too.
He could have said Guy was a lost cause and then just killed everybody.
Well, you know, at least John is intrinsically involved in the story as opposed to a lot of the other long-form stories he's been involved the last few years. He's kind of just been away. I mean, as much as being kidnapped and tortured is kind of not exactly a sure sign of you're the best around, but I mean, at least he's there in the nitty-gritty. And next, at least next storyline, you know, it starts out with John Stewart getting kidnapped. I feel like a lot of stories – you know what? I feel like every time they do a relaunch of a Green Lantern title, they're always like, John Stewart's going to be in this one. And the first issue is about John Stewart doing something. He's subsequently taken out of the game, and then it's like 10 issues of whoever the writer felt like writing. You know, like poor John Stewart is like – he likes to start storylines, doesn't like to finish them, you know?
Well, all right. I guess that's it for our review of Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern New Guardians. You know, we had our mixed bag. We mostly enjoyed it. Mostly had a few problems, of course, with it. But we're still loving it. Till next time, everybody. This has been Frank Mateo and your established team of Green Lantern enthusiasts. Stay green. Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening and check us out next time. And please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/RoyClarkMethod.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long.
What the hell was that?
I don't think you listen to what we say. I don't think anyone likes it.
like summarizes the episode and then says like, all right, and now for me and my team, like, what is that? What was that?
That's him trying to be professional.
Yeah, it's me trying to be a little bit professional.
Have you heard the show? The show's not professional.
I'm sorry. I shitted on everybody involved.
Yeah, it is funny that he's like, we mostly liked it, even though we kind of thought it was a mixed bag. I'm like, I literally didn't hear a positive word said.
I always have to say, we're not completely shitting on it. Most of us enjoyed certain aspects of the thing. There's far in between, you know, the rants of how ravenous we want the book to, you know, be different. But
it's easier to talk about what we don't like, but we like Fernando Pasquin's art.
Exactly. So we're good. We're good. Something. We're